Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's good to us. I'm so pleased with this congregation, so pleased with what you're doing. We've got volunteers, you know, helping us work three services, and had people out there yesterday at the new church helping build a big old playground. I tell you what, I guarantee you, we got one of the biggest playgrounds in the Jackson metro area out there at that new church. I believe the tallest point on it's over 20 feet tall. It's the real deal, and it better be as much as we paid for. But our children are going to have fun playing on that for a long, long time, and so we're just so grateful for all the volunteers helping us. You know, we could have had the company put it together, but it would have cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. It would have taken them 10 days. But with Word of Life volunteers, we got it done in 2 days. Amen. So yeah, let's give them a hand. Everyone who helped with the playground, so thankful for you. And then also with us working three services, we've got a lot of volunteers who are pulling double shifts. Thanks, so thankful for that. And make sure to tell the people who are keeping our children this morning. All our volunteers in nursery and preschool and children's church, make sure to tell them thank you and how appreciative you are that they are taking the time to watch over our children. Amen? Amen. Well, open up your Bible with me to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, our ushers there in the aisles now, you can lift up your hand and they'll be more than glad to give you one. Maybe you left yours at home, or maybe you don't have a Bible at all. Just lift up your hand and they will give you one. And we're so glad to be able to provide those for you. We've given away hundreds of Bibles this year, and we are excited about that. We want the Word of God in your hands. And so you can open up those Bibles once again to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start off with verse 1, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 4. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside..." Now, the Word of God is always talking to you. Amen. So what we're reading now, it's talking to you. "You lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speakings." Come on, somebody. "And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So I like that. I don't know about you, but I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. What does that mean? It just means you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So he says, if you've so tasted that the Lord is gracious or good, watch this in verse 4, "to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Well, look at this in verse 4. If you have a pen, you can underline it or put parentheses by it. If you have a highlighter, you can highlight it. Watch this. "To whom coming?" Notice that word "coming." To whom coming? Now he's talking to Christians here. He's telling them, hey Christians, you need to put aside some things. There's some things you need to put aside. Then he goes on to say you need the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's going to grow you up, that's going to make you strong in Christ. But then he says you also need to do something else. Not only do you need to put aside some things, not only do you need the Word of God, but you need to be coming to the Lord. Coming unto the Rock of Ages. Now, coming is, it's a very interesting word. It denotes continual present tense. This is not something you've done, and this is not something you're going to do. This is something you're doing right now. Your life and mine as Christians is to be a life of going to the Father. Well, for what? For everything. That after salvation, you not only go to Him for the renewal of your spirit and to be made over in Christ, but after that, you're going to Him for everything else. When you got a need on the job, you go to the Father. When you have a need at the house, you go to the Father. When you're running low on peace, you go to the Lord for peace. Amen. We don't just run to a spa. No, we go to the Lord. Nothing wrong with the spa. But God wants to be your source for peace. Amen. When you don't know what to do on the job, you don't just run to a manual. You run to the Lord. I heard Keith Moore telling a story years ago. And he was talking about how his motorcycle wouldn't turn on. And so, you know, he's very mechanically inclined. And so he's checking all the things he needs to check. And he's going to the hardware store and replacing all these parts. And he said in the middle of it all, he just had a check in his spirit to just go to the Lord. Just pull aside from trying to do all the things he knows to do, all the things the manual is telling him to do, and just go over to the Lord. Well, he said he did that. He laid down all the tools and just got alone quietly and prayed. And as he was praying, the Lord spoke to his heart, headlight. Headlight. Well, he went and checked the headlight, and he noticed in there when he took it out, I probably wouldn't have been able to notice because I'm not that mechanically inclined, but he noticed there was a short there. And he had searched for hours trying to figure out why it wouldn't start, why it wouldn't turn over and crank up. He'd done all the things he knew to do in his natural mind, went down to the auto shop and asked them, got parts to replace and all of those things. But the Holy Spirit knew exactly what was wrong. And he could have solved it within 30 seconds instead of 3 hours had he just gone to the Lord instead of trying to do everything in his own natural strength. Now, the same thing is true with you. You can work for days trying to land a client. But if you'll take that time to just pull aside and go over to the Lord, he'll show you exactly what you need to do to work that situation out. See, you and I need to learn to be dependent. I mean dependent upon the Lord. Dependent upon Him. How long can you go without prayer? I'm talking about you as an individual. How long can you go? What seasons do you go through without prayer? How long can you make it through your day without going to the Lord? To whom coming? How often can we sit and just go days without taking that time to go over to the Father? Friends, this issue, it's bigger than I can put into words. It's bigger than I can articulate. I'm going to need the Holy Spirit's help to get it out. It's big in me. How long can you go? Friend, I'm telling you, if you study out the lives of men and women of God who were mightily used by God, they were dependent upon God for everything. Think about Abraham. First thing he did when he'd set up shop is build an altar to worship before the Lord. Think about Moses, the meekest man in all the earth. He was also the most mightily used by God in all the earth of his generation. Think about the person who came after him, Joshua. What separated Joshua from all the other children of Israel? Could it be that when Moses would go to the house of the Lord to worship and Joshua couldn't get into it, but he'd get up as close as he could to the doorpost and lay down there by the presence of God? And even when Moses left the temple, Joshua would still be down there on bended knee, worshiping as close to God's presence as he could get. Why was he picked? Why was he chosen? Why was he mightily used by God? See, many are called, but few are chosen. It's not because God's picking and choosing. It's because very few will ever set themselves apart enough to be used by God in the way that He would want to use them. The Christian life is a life of coming to the Father, going into His presence. How long can you go until you need Him? Jesus said, "For without Him, we can do nothing." That in Him you should live and move and have your being. That you take up residency in Him. That He's abiding in you. And His words are abiding in you. And so out of that you're bearing much fruit. How long can you go? See, spiritual growth is the complete opposite of natural growth. You know, we have 2 children of our own. And their ages 3 and 4. Just wonderful children. And it's a blessed thing as they get older. They gain a little bit more independence upon mommy and daddy. You know, they don't need you anymore to take them to the potty. It's a blessed day. I mean, it was a blessed, blessed day when our boy B finally realized how to go on the potty on his own. It is a blessed day. Splendid. I mean, it's worthy of getting down on your knees and worshiping your Heavenly Father. It's a blessed thing. And so as they get older, they gain more and more independence. And you see, we have a niece, Kaylee, and she's a teenager. And, you know, now she can get in the car and go run errands for us. It's a blessed thing when they think they're getting a car for enjoyment, but really, you're helping them because you need them to go places and do things and get some dry cleaning. And splendid, wonderful. But with age and with maturity, in a natural standpoint, there comes liberty. There comes freedom. They're not as dependent upon mom and dad as they used to be, because with their age, they're gaining maturity. Well, spiritually speaking, it's the exact opposite. You can tell how spiritual you are by how much you depend on your Heavenly Father. Spiritual maturity is not handling things by faith, doing my own thing. No, 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 no. True growing in Christ is being absolutely dependent upon Him. He is your source for strength. He is your source for wisdom. He is your source for finance. He is your source for healing. I'm depending upon you, God. To where literally, you're spending more time going to Him than almost doing anything else. And it's not just on your knees and on a prayer closet with the lights dimmed and candles lit and some music playing in the background. No, it's you're on your way to work and someone cuts you off and you say, God, thank you for peace. Bless them, Lord. You're in the office and you come across a problem that's frustrating you. You go to God and say, God, this thing's getting under my skin. I need your wisdom on how to deal with this. I don't want to step out beyond you. Help me, Lord. Do what your will would want me to do here. You see what I mean? You come home and you're frustrated and you're tired. Because you had a long day at work and then there's all this stuff you need to do at the house, you go to the Lord. God, I need your peace here. Help me walk in love with my family. To whom coming? Coming. Over the last couple of months now, in my own personal private devotional time, the Lord's been dealing with me about the subject of debt. God doesn't like it. I mean, He doesn't like it. I'll put it to you this way. He likes it as much as He likes sickness and disease. You see, and we're going to talk about these things even on a Wednesday night. And what I mean by that is God wants you completely out of it. I mean, just as He wants you completely out of sickness, there's nothing that glorifies God when you're in sickness and pain. It's the same thing with debt. You go all throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, and if you see anyone who came to a man of God or God with debt and told them about the debt, whether it was Peter with his taxes or any number of the widow women in the Old Testament, when God found out about the debt and they went to the man of God or Jesus Himself about that debt, He immediately paid it off. Every time. Just like when anyone came to Jesus in the New Testament who was sick in their body and asked for healing, He immediately healed them. It's the same parallel. I mean, you see, God, He just wants us free in every sense of the word from everything in this world and absolutely tied to Him for everything that we need. And so God's just been building my faith and building my faith. And the reason why is for years this ministry's been debt-free. And we're building a new building out there on Lakeland Drive. And the majority of it, we've been able to finance ourselves with no fundraising. No, we need $1,000. It's none of that. We've been able to do it completely depending upon God as our source. Amen. But there came a time to where we took out money. And we were borrowing money. We're going to pay it off quick. It's nothing compared to, I mean, just even in the natural, without any signs and wonders, we could pay it off very quickly and speedily and run over to phase two. But I want to see this thing paid off even faster than just in the natural so we can get to phase two a whole lot quicker. And so God's been building my faith up on that subject. Well, anyway, a couple of months ago, while he's doing this, A Believer's Voice of Victory magazine comes across my desk. It's, you know, Brother Copeland's publication. I never really had followed Brother Copeland. Obviously, I listened to a lot of his material and things like that, but just never really hunkered down on it like I do Brother Hagin. I mean, Brother Hagin, I know almost every one of his messages. I've got them all, you know, categorized, and I've read every one of his books. And so, anyway, with Brother Copeland, I came across this magazine, and I was flipping through it. Wasn't really reading it, just kind of skimming it. And at the top of it, I saw an advertisement for his Branson Victory campaign. And I couldn't turn the page. I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen to you, but it just stuck with me. And I didn't know exactly the direction I should go, but I knew there was something about this meeting that I was supposed to either be at or help with. I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to send some offering to help underwrite it or whatever it may be. So I had it sitting there on my desk and just had a witness one morning while I was praying that I'm supposed to be there. And so that's where I was last weekend. Well, while I was there, immediately while I'm sitting in service and Brother Copeland gets up, he starts teaching on this subject of debt. And he starts talking about how his ministry is debt-free, and it's fascinating. I mean, fascinating when he goes into all the details and tells the story on how it happened. Just fascinating. And while he's talking, I am just getting revelation. I mean, the Lord is speaking to my heart, and it's exactly what we're talking about this morning. And this is how the Lord put it to me in relation to the subject of debt. That when we need or want something, I'll use the example of the church. We need and desire a building on Lakeland Drive. We need money to build that building. And so when we come across that need, come up to that want, we take it what we can, and then we go to a bank and decide to borrow money. We go to that banker to help finance that need. Go to a banker to help finance that desire. And he, you know, cuts a check, and you cut covenant with that banker, with that bank. And you bind yourself. That's what a covenant is. It's binding. You bind yourself to them to help meet your need. You do this for me, I'll do this for you, and it's binding. They can't turn their back on you by not giving you the money, and you can't turn their back on them by not sending in that monthly payment. Or else when you break covenant, that's not a position you want to be in. You see what I'm saying? When you went to that banker, when we went to a man, a financial institution, to meet a need. We needed a source of money. You see where I'm going with this? We needed a source for money. And so we went to a person. Well, it's the same thing any other time anybody else takes out a loan, whether it's for a car or a house. We need a bigger house, so we go to a bank. We need a car, so we go to a bank. And we go to people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I am saying is God wants us out of it. He wants to pay off any debt however we find ourselves in it. He wants us out of it, and His mercy is there, just like healing mercy is there, to help us deliver us from it. Because like I said, He wants us living in freedom. But how the Lord put it in my heart was this: I want to be your source for everything. For everything. I don't want you having to bow your knee to any man and go to them for any need or desire. I will supply all of your needs. But see, it's our mindset as Christians even, as people who live and operate in this world for so long, we begin operating according to the world's ways and according to the world's system. And there are some good things in there that we can take advantage of. But God is much higher, and His ways are so much higher, and His wisdom is so much greater than anything in this world. And once we learn God, and once we come to Him on a consistent basis, our mind starts to get renewed to what He wants for us. And we adopt ourselves over to His system and to His plan. And so I said that to say this. When you get caught up with a need or a desire, when you get caught up and things just aren't clicking or flowing the way that you would like them to, where are you to turn? You turn to the almighty, living, most powerful, all-consuming God, who is your Father and has covenant with you already that whatever you need in this life, whatever desire that you have in your heart, I want to give it to you. I want to lay it beside you. I want to come in your life and deliver you from whatever is attacking you. If an enemy comes against you one ways, I want to come in your life and take him out of it seven ways. If someone steals from you, I want to come back into your life and give you double of everything they took. It's a God who wants to be your source for everything. And just like it's a glorious day for us as natural parents when our children grow in independence, it is a glorious day in heaven when you and I make a decision to become more dependent upon our Father God. How much do we really put a demand on Him for what we need? For the desires in our heart, are we putting a demand on God, going to Him as our source, or do we experiment with all of these other things? Friends, I'm telling you, God wants us to do everything we can in the natural, but at the same time, we cannot forget that God is our Father in heaven, and we need to learn to go to Him. Go over to the book of James. Book of James. Let's look at a scripture here, wonderful scripture. In James chapter 4, and James is talking about you have not because you ask not, and all of those wonderful scriptures. And basically he's talking about going to the Lord, like we've been talking about this morning. And he says here in James chapter 5, he says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain or for nothing? That the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." God is a jealous God. He wants every part of you. In the Old Testament, when they offered up a sacrifice, they had to put the whole thing on it. And it's the same way with your life and mine. When we got into Christianity, we're giving God every piece of us. Every piece of us, we're putting on the altar and saying, "God, take it all." And so he's saying, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth for us to envy. And why? Because in verse 6 it's going to tell us, because he giveth more grace. Notice that phrase, if you can highlight it or put parentheses around it. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God gives more grace. Everyone say more grace. What is grace? Grace is the quality of God that makes things easy. Anything that is graced is easy. Salvation, it's a free gift of grace to us that we access by faith. How easy is salvation? It's as easy as believing with your heart and saying with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. You're born again. Why? It's by grace that you're saved. Grace is evident in your life when you can go through things that would normally be hard, but because grace, they're made easy. When grace is there, things are flowing. It doesn't mean that there's not difficulties or what the world would classify as a hard situation. But it's God gracing you to go through it. And so you walk through with ease what would cause other people to crumble and fail. Why? You're graced for it. And so you and I, according to this scripture, can walk in more grace. How would your life be different right now if you had more grace? Would there be any change? If your life was more graced right now, how would it change things? You can have more grace in your marriage. It can get easier. You can have more grace on the job. It can get easier. You can have more grace in making money. If it's been hard and it's been difficult and deals have been falling through, you can have more grace. Well, how do you get this more grace? Aren't you glad the scripture tells us? God does what to the proud? But what's He do to the humble? He gives what? More grace. No matter how much grace you are walking in now, you can walk in more. No matter how easy your life is now, it can get easier with this more grace. How do you get more grace? You got to humble yourself. Well, how do you do that? Go over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to take you to two more, this scripture and then another one, then I'm going to close. Matthew chapter 10. We're talking about more grace. How many of you could use more grace? I don't care who you are, how much grace you're walking in, you could use more grace. Well, how do you get more grace? You got to humble yourself. What happens to the proud? They get resisted. Friends, think about all the things in life that could resist you. The last thing you need is God resisting you. With the proud, they get resisted, but the humble get more grace. How do you walk in humility? The word pride means high, exalted. The word pride means, as I like how Paul put it, to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I got this covered. I can do this. That's pride. I can handle this. We were out on the job building the playground the other day, and they had these big poles. You know, they're huge, huge iron poles. And so, you know, you're out there and you're with a whole bunch of men, and, you know, everyone wants to show off, you know, how many poles can you carry at one time? And, you know, all these things. And so I'm grabbing this, and there's another guy on the end of it who's trying to help me with this. I got it. And the guy was out there, the guy who was helping manage it, and he was saying, you know, we don't need any heroes out here today. And so, you know, I said, I got it. And so anyway, I let him help me. But anyway, that's an example of what we do in life. I got this. I need some more work. I got this. I can handle this. And God's saying, what about me? Humility is the exact opposite. It means to bring low. Means to bring down on a bent knee. God, I need your help. God, I need your supply. Help me with this. And watch this in Matthew chapter 11. And at the end of it in verse 28, Matthew 11, 28, Jesus is talking here. How do we know they made it easy? It's in red. Matthew 11, 28, he says, come. Come to whom? Coming, come unto me, all you that are stressed out and overworked, burdened down, if you're heavy laden. Why? I want to give you something. Rest. You know that stress, struggle, and just heavy laden, that's not God's will. He's saying, if this is you, you need to do something. What is it you need to do? To whom coming? And watch what he says here. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Now notice he says, you're over here and things aren't right. You're heavy laden and you're stressed out. You're working really hard and not producing that very much of results. There's something that you need to learn. My people are destroyed for a lack of. He says there's something you need to learn. If this is you, you need to learn something. Well, what is it you need to learn? Learn of me. Well, what is it I'm supposed to learn of you? I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, if you're stressed out, overworked, heavy laden, you need to do something. You need to come. And when you come of me, you need to learn something. And what you need to learn is you need to learn of me. Well, what is it I'm supposed to learn of you, Jesus? Learn of me that I am meek and lowly of heart. And he says, if you can learn that, you'll find rest unto your souls, and then you'll start walking in a life that is light and easy. How is Jesus meek and lowly? He wasn't parading. He wasn't a weak man. He wasn't letting people run over him. I mean, he was absolute love and strength. But you do see Jesus doing a whole lot of going to the Lord, running into his presence. He wasn't walking around saying, I'm the Son of God, I got this covered. You know what? I can cure everyone who's here. Just get over here. And if you've got a sickness or disease, Son of God, right here, I got this. I got this covered. Come on over here. I can handle this. It's not beyond me. I got it. I'm the man. I am the man. Jesus was lowly of heart. Let me show you one example of it, and this is my closing. Go to the book of Mark. I'll show you how was Jesus lowly at heart. Watch this. I'll show you a perfect example in the book of Mark here. Mark chapter 1, and let's look at verse 32. Closing with this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. Watch this. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly at heart. Here's an example. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Watch this. So many people. All the city was gathered together at the door. Can you imagine all of Jackson turning out into one place? Here's Jesus. I mean, he's all of Jackson. They're coming to him. They're coming to him, pressing upon him. And he healed many that were sick. Now that's interesting to me because in most places it says he healed them all. But he healed many. I need to study out that further. And he healed many that were sick of different kind of diseases and cast out many, not all, but many devils, and suffered not that the devil to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while. Everyone say a great while. Before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there did what? What did he do? He went to the Father. He went to the Lord. He's got the whole city at his door. They're pressing upon him. He's got needs everywhere. And he didn't sit there until every need was met. When he knew he needed to depart, he did. Well, somebody says it's because everyone was gone. No, they weren't. We'll read the next verse. And when they found him in verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek thee. There's tons of needs all around Jesus. And he's not just sitting there operating in his own strength, doing what he can do to meet those needs. He realizes in the middle of the needs, I need to do something. I need to go to the Father. So he woke up before everyone, went out to a solitary place where no one was, and there prayed. To whom coming? He gives more grace. Who's he giving more grace to? He's giving it to the humble. Who are the humble? It's those who are walking of lowly of heart. How do we walk of lowly of heart? All the way back to the beginning. To him coming. Going to the Father for whatever we need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience this morning. Let me pray for you before you go. Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Lord, that you bless them. Thank you for calling us to walk in more grace, more power, more anointing. And we thanked you, Lord, that to you we will go, to you we will come, we will press in and enter in and receive all that we need. Father, we thank you that we'll not be so busy that we're not dependent upon you. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. We thank you, Lord. This is a year where dreams are coming true for us. We're going to taste and see that you are good. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you're here this morning and you need prayer for absolutely anything, whether you're sick in your body or whether you need help with a situation that you don't know what to do and you need wisdom, we want you to come to the Lord and we'll get in agreement and pray with you. If you're here and you need to be born again, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven or hell, or you need to rededicate your life, come on down here to the altar. We want to pray with you and for you for whatever you need. There are going to be altar room workers all across this altar right here. If you're a guest with us this morning, meaning this is your first, your second, or your third time here at Word of Life, you can go to that table right over there and they will give you a free gift. It's just our little way of saying thank you for coming to Word of Life Church. Make sure you get that. We just want to be a blessing to you. Also, if you're interested in membership, that's the table you go to sign up for that. So glad that you came out here this morning. Still more one to go. So remember, next week you've got options. You can come here at 8:30, 10, 11:30. Amen. We're just super excited to have you here with us. Bring somebody with you when you come. Stand your feet all over this place.